great scripture verse I wanted to use as the sort of theme of this sermon. Seek him who made the Pleiades and Orion. Or, and their eyes were opened, and he vanished from their sight. So I figured I'd use it. When I taught astronomy, one of my labs involved taking the students outside and looking up at the nighttime sky. And if Orion was in the sky, that usually meant Taurus was close at hand, and I could point to the shoulder of Taurus where you would remember the Pleiades are to be found. And I would ask my students to count the number of stars in the Pleiades and tell me how many they saw there. And they would look very carefully, and they would usually say, 5? Think, okay. It was downtown Newark, Delaware, so it was a lot of light, but 5 was good. And I would say, you know, there's actually about 250 stars in that cluster. We just can't see them all with the naked eye. But I want you to look back at that cluster and look at it out of the corner of your eye and tell me how many stars you see now. And usually, if they were looking out of the corner of their eye and not directly at it, they would say 7. Looking away to see something clearly is something you often have to do in astronomy. We even have a name for it. It's called averted vision. You avert the center of your vision from what you are trying to see in the sky. And it makes perfect sense. It's a good evolutionary survival strategy that you want to be able to see color things very well when you look directly at them, but when in the nighttime something is crawling through the trees to get you, you want to see it very well out of the corner of your eye. We can see things that are much dimmer and harder to see when we don't look directly at them. And that, I think, is one of the truest things that I know about God as well. Because the truth of the gospel is always there. It's always luminous, and it's always real, but it flickers just outside of our direct vision most of the time. We catch the reality of the gospel when we look at it at the edges. We see it in breaking of bread. We recognize it in the stranger who is walking beside us along the road. Now, in this gospel, we hear the story of the road to Emmaus, where two of the followers of Jesus were walking along. You probably remember that Cyril of Alexandria thinks that these are part of the 72, not the apostles themselves. You should look it up if you don't remember that, but trust me on that one. They knew Jesus. They were part of that group that had been following him. They had heard him preach. They had seen him, and they don't recognize him when they're walking along beside him. Now, they're walking away from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Right? That's walking away from something they knew to something uncertain. They're walking towards something unknown because for them, everything they had hoped for had collapsed. And they admit that there are strange reports from women, and Peter has been back to the tomb, and he's seen, well, it's not clear what he's seen. It's not clear what's happening. Nothing makes sense in this moment, and you can imagine them both confused, depressed, and downcast as they make their way away from Jerusalem. Think about that. Walking towards the uncertain. Walking away from the place where everything up to now has happened, and not quite knowing what comes next. It's a road that many of us know. And I suspect that some of you, especially those being confirmed or received today, know it right now. It's also the road that Father Mark is going to be walking to as he prepares to step away from this community, which he has built with such skill and such love. A new chapter for him, for you, those being received and confirmed, and those for you, the people of St. Martin's. Direction uncertain, trust is required. And honestly, you step back, it seems to be the road that the whole world is on right now. And in that moment, the disciples did not recognize Jesus. You know, they were told by Peter just a few moments before that the tomb was empty, and they still didn't understand. They're confused, I guess, because Peter didn't see Jesus, and now they're walking along the risen, beside the risen Lord, and they still cannot see him. About 20 years ago, I was on a late night radio program in Phoenix. It was public radio, kind of show where people can call in and talk about religion and whatever. There was a young man who had heard that I was writing books about science and religion. I remember him being deeply earnest, so earnest. And he's a geologist, and that's cool. That's like science. thank you. I was wondering if you would get that too. So he was a geologist, and he was sure that there was no conflict between science and religion. And he kept saying if people would just open the Bible and read from the Bible, they would understand everything. It was me and a rabbi with the other members of the panel. And I was sitting there, and the rabbi just stiffened. And I was thinking, oh, this is probably going to be good. Right? And what the rabbi said in response, I've never forgotten it. It was totally worth getting up at 2 in the morning to go to this talk show thing that no one called into. But what the rabbi said is, look, we don't recognize or understand things simply by reading the Bible. God expects us to use our minds and our reason to uncover the truth. God expects us to use our minds and our reason to uncover the truth. It means that sometimes God hides it from us and expects us to go seeking. And that's not a design flaw. It's what God did intentionally. Because the act of searching is itself the point. The journey towards wisdom is what God is asking of all of us. And there's theological weight behind all that. Look, you and I were made in the image of God. And that means we were given the gift of reason. We were given the duty of moral discernment. And at great cost, we have received the knowledge of good and evil. To expect God to simply hand us truth on a platter with no effort, no struggle, no wrestling, well, it's actually to diminish what God has made in us. God hides the truth not to frustrate us, but to honor us. Take seriously the gift of wisdom and wit that God gifted us with at our creation when we were made in God's image. I find that deeply true then in that radio show, and I find it deeply true now. Anyone who opens the Bible and engages with it seriously and honestly quickly discovers it is not simple at all. There are contradictions. There are left turns. There are right turns. There are things that just make no sense. And people who tell you that the Bible is easy to understand, well, they probably stop asking hard questions. In my life, I have worked at the very edges of what physics and chemistry can tell us about the world. And I promise you that not understanding something is not evidence that it isn't true or isn't worth pursuing. In fact, that's the best part of science, when you come up on something you don't understand, because that means there's a chance that you're going to be able to push what we know about creation back a little bit and uncover a bit more truth. And there may be a prize in it for you. The struggle of doing that work is precisely where wisdom lives. That's what research is all about. We are in excellent company in our confusion about what the truth is in any one moment. In this text, this gospel text, the people who don't fully understand include the disciples on the road, the 72 who followed Jesus for years. It includes Peter and pretty much every follower, every early follower of Jesus. But they got there eventually. So can we. But how do we learn to see? How do we begin to understand the truth? Well, I got this cool cross, right? It was a gift to me from the people of the cathedral in Arizona when I was elected bishop. And I wear it around my neck both to honor the gift they gave me and because it's got this cool little amethyst in the middle. And if you look through the amethyst, I can kind of see you. You're all purple and it's like a kaleidoscope. And you're all there, but you're all moving around. That amethyst is at the cross itself, with the arms of the cross. And I kind of think of it as my little lens that lets me see through the cross the reality that is before me. Remember when he had secret decoder rings and things like that? I think of this cross, my pectoral cross, as my secret decoder ring for the reality that we inhabit but don't fully understand. But when I look through the cross, things that seem to make no sense sometimes become clearer. And I think that's how we can understand the gospel, and that's how we can understand who Jesus is, and that's how we can understand what is happening in the world around us at any moment. By finding a way to look through the cross as a lens that decodes the truth that is there before us. Everything looks different when you look through the lens that way. Suffering is real, but suffering is not the final word when you see it through the cross. Endings are real, they are real, but endings are not the last thing that happens when you see it through the cross. Now Luke tells us this is exactly what Jesus did with those disciples on the road. He opened scripture to them, and he showed them how to read everything through the lens of his own death and resurrection. And when he did that, their hearts began to burn within them. And if you step back, the reality is that is at the heart of Luke's whole approach to sharing the good news of Christ in the gospel. Remember, at the beginning of Luke's gospel, he says to Theophilus that he has investigated everything from the very start, carefully. And what he has found is that you recognize the truth when the memory of Jesus' ministry is illuminated both by Scripture, and Scripture is illuminated by the memory of Jesus. Each illuminates each other. I see you through the cross. You see me through the cross. It is the cross that is our decoder to understanding who God is and what is happening in the world today. And then the big moment comes in the story. They arrive at Emmaus. They press on him to stay. It is almost evening. The day is nearly over. He sits down at table with them. He takes the bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and their eyes are opened, and he vanishes from their sight. They look directly at him, and they finally see him, and now they cannot. Averted vision. The recognition comes not only in the explanation, not in the teaching, not even in the burning of the hearts on the road. That's all of that which has prepared them to be able to see. The recognition comes in the breaking of bread, in the shattering, and the reoffering of the body. For those of you who are being confirmed and received today, look, you've been on a road of preparation yourself. I imagine you've studied, you've questioned, you've wrestled with answers that made no sense. And I hope you did that because that's part of what it is to be a mature Christian. But in a few moments, something else is going to happen here. We will do what Jesus did. Together, we will take bread. We will give thanks. We will break it. And in that breaking and in that receiving, we will encounter the risen Lord. Not as an idea, not as a conclusion that we reasoned our way to, but as a presence in our midst. Something that is there, just at the edge of our vision, perhaps. That's the promise. It's the promise of our worship. It's the promise of our Eucharist. It has held true for 2,000 years across every kind of confusion, grief, and uncertainty that the world has thrown at the Church. N.T. Wright puts it, "We need to learn to read the Scriptures. And for that, we need, as our teacher, the risen Lord himself." This passage, Wright continues, forms one of the most powerful encouragements to pray for his presence and sense of guidance whenever we study the Bible, individually or in prayers or in larger groups. And we need to be prepared for him to rebuke our foolish and faithless readings, and we need to listen for his fresh interpretation. Because only with Jesus at our side will our hearts burn within us and lead us to the point where we see him face to face. To those being confirmed today, to those being received, you are stepping onto a road whose destination you cannot fully see. Your faith in your life is not a problem to be solved. It is something to be lived. The risen Lord has a habit of showing up in exactly that kind of road, walking aside people who don't yet recognize him until the moment, often at a table, often in the breaking of bread, when they do. And Father Mark, who has walked this road with this community low these past dozen years, with the therapist's attention and a pastor's love, the road ahead is uncertain, as all good roads are, but you have shown this congregation what it looks like to walk such a road well. May your hearts burn within you, all of you. For all of us, as we sense Christ's presence in our midst, be brave enough to look away for a moment. Use your averted vision. Hear through a lens if you need to. Come to the table. Always, always look for the stranger in your midst who might be Christ himself. Amen. Amen.